The young man departed. Dongla, who had edged closer during their conversation, said,
"Has Dantès given you a letter from Captain Leclerc?"
"No. Was there one? I believe Captain Leclerc did confide a letter to his care." "He didn't speak to me of it," replied the shipowner. "But if there is any letter, he'll certainly give it to me." At this moment, Dantès returned, and Dongla withdrew.
"Well, my dear Dantès," said the owner, "you can now come and dine with me."
"I really must ask you to excuse me, Monsieur Morel. My first visit must be to my father. Then I have another I'm most anxious to pay."
"True, Dantès. I forgot that at the Catalans there's someone who expects you no less impatiently than your father, the lovely Mercedes."
"Then I have your leave?"
"Yes, indeed," said the shipowner. "Dantès,
before you go, Captain Leclerc didn't give you a letter for me, did he?" "He was unable to write, sir. But that reminds me, I must ask your leave of absence for some days."
"To get married?"
"Yes, first, and then to go to Paris."
"Very well. Have what time you need, Dantès.
Only be back again in 3 months, for the Pharaon can't sail without her captain."
"Her captain?" cried Dantès.
"Monsieur Morel, I thank you, in the name of my father and of Mercedes." He jumped into the skiff, and the little boat glided away. The shipowner, smiling, followed him with his eyes. Dongla, behind him, apparently awaiting orders, was also watching the young sailor, but there was a great difference in the expression of the two men. We'll leave Dongla, struggling with the demon of hatred, and follow Dantès, who turned down the Rue Noailles and entered a small house. He ran up the 4 flights of dark stairs and stopped before a half-open door. The news of the Pharaon's arrival had not yet reached Dantès' father, who, with a hand trembling with old age, was busy staking some nasturtiums that climbed up the trellis in front of his window. Suddenly, he felt an arm thrown round him, and a familiar voice called out, "Father, my dear old dad!" With a cry of joy, the old man turned round and saw his son. Pale and visibly trembling, he threw his arms round him. "What ails you, father?" inquired the young man anxiously. "Are you ill?"
"No, no, my dear Edmond. But I wasn't expecting you, and the joy at suddenly seeing you again has given me rather a shock."
"A glass of wine will soon put you right. Tell me where you keep it." He opened one cupboard after another.
"There is no wine," said old Dantès.
The young man looked at the bare cupboards. "Have you been in want of money, father? When I went away 3 months ago, I left you 200 francs.
"True enough, but you forgot a little debt you owed to our neighbour Caderousse. He reminded me of it and told me that if I didn't pay it for you, he'd go to Monsieur Morel for the money. I was afraid that might do you harm, so I paid it."
"But I owed Caderousse 140 francs, said Dantès. "Do you mean to say that you've lived for 3 months on 60 francs?
"I need very little."
"May God forgive me," cried Edmond. "Here, father, take this money and send for something good to eat and drink." So saying, he emptied the contents of his pockets onto the table, 12 pieces of gold, 5 or 6 crowns, and some smaller coins. His father's face brightened.
"But hush," he said, "here comes Caderousse. He's no doubt heard of your arrival, and has come to welcome you home."
At that moment, Caderousse entered, a man of 25, with a mass of black hair. He was smiling broadly.
"So you've come back, Edmond," he said, "and you appear to be in Monsieur Morel's good books. But you shouldn't have refused to dine with him. When a man aims at being captain, he mustn't offend his employer. He should butter him up."
"Oh, I hope to be captain without doing that," replied Dantès.
"And now, father, I'm longing to see Mercedes."
"Go, my son, go," said the old man.
Edmond took leave of his father, and Caderousse,